Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. I hope everybody is doing well wherever you're at in the world. Today we are going to be talking about The Interior Castle by Saint Teresa of Avila. This book is a work of Christian mysticism that I think is very insightful. It's emotionally honest and it's beautiful. Written some time ago, and I think it still feels really relevant today. And even if you're not a Christian, if you have complicated feelings about religion, and even if you approach mysticism more symbolically rather than devotionally, I think The Interior Castle, it does remain one of the greatest maps of inner transformation that I think has been written. So I think her message is deeply universal and is helpful for your spiritual journey. So let's get started. Within every human being exists an inner world, a hidden sanctuary, if you will, a depth of consciousness most people rarely enter. And according to Teresa, the spiritual life isn't ultimately about performing holiness externally. It's about the journey inward, towards truth, that journey towards love, towards presence, and toward the divine, or the union with the divine. And if we look at this from a psychological perspective, maybe we could say it's towards wholeness, towards integration, but more so overall towards awakening. So now before we start to enter the text itself, we need to really understand who Teresa was. Because Teresa wasn't this passive nun who was writing all of these pious reflections. She was brilliant. She was very complex and funny, defiant, practical, and at times she was deeply controversial. She was born in Spain in 1515 during this enormous religious upheaval. The Protestant Reformation was reshaping Europe. The Catholic Counter-Reformation was also quite intensifying, and the Spanish Inquisition loomed over the intellectual and spiritual parts of life. Mystical experiences could definitely attract suspicion, especially for women. And yet Teresa emerged as one of the most influential spiritual voices in Christian history. So Teresa entered a Carmelite convent, but over time became increasingly dissatisfied with superficial religious life. There was a lot of distraction, too much social performance, and too much spiritual complacency, and she longed for something deeper. She wasn't looking for religion as an institution, but she wanted that direct experience, that direct encounter, and she wanted to experience some form of transformation. Most of all, she wanted this interior intimacy with the divine. And after many years of struggle, illness, prayer, and mystical experiences, even emotional turmoil, and a long time of profound contemplation, she began reforming the Carmelite order. So from her perspective, she wanted to come in and emphasize simplicity, silence, contemplation, this inner transformation journey. And not surprisingly, this created a lot of resistance. Teresa faced criticism, suspicion, hostility, and constant obstacles, but she continued nevertheless. And in 1577, near the end of her life, she ended up writing The Interior Castle. She reportedly described the soul as a castle made of a single diamond or very clear crystal. That image becomes the foundation for the entire text. The soul is a castle, radiant, beautiful, immense. It's filled with many rooms, and at the center of the castle dwells the divine presence. Already we can feel how rich the symbolism is going to be. Most people live at the surface of themselves, like they know their social identity, their routines, your anxieties, your defenses, your wounds. But Teresa insists that there are deeper chambers within consciousness, and the spiritual journey involves moving inward through these rooms. Now, Teresa divides the journey into what she called seven mansions. The mansions aren't these rigid stages, like in this very simplistic self-help sense. They're states of spiritual maturation, levels of awareness, depths of intimacy with divine reality. And most importantly, she notes that the journey is non-linear. People move forward and people move backward. They struggle, they become distracted, they resist, they awaken, and then they deepen. And Teresa is remarkably realistic about human psychology. She understands fear very well. She understands the ego, your attachments, deceiving yourself, spiritual pride, even avoidance. And honestly, One reason that the interior castle still resonates today is because Teresa understands that transformation is difficult. And this isn't because the soul, you know, lacks beauty, but it's because human beings are just distracted, they're conditioned, and they're afraid of surrender. So let us enter the castle, the first mansion. Teresa describes the outer rooms as the place where most people begin. This is the realm of partial awakening. A person has become aware that there is something more. Some longing, some internal longing has stirred. Some deeper hunger has awakened. But they remain surrounded by distraction, by noise, attachments, fears, or egoic patterns. Teresa famously describes poisonous creatures surrounding the outer rooms of the castle. Now, symbolically, these creatures represent the forces that pull consciousness away from inner life. Compulsion, vanity, addiction, endless distraction, fear, self-obsession. And honestly, I think that this image feels incredibly modern because contemporary culture is saturated with distraction. Many people rarely experience silence. They rarely encounter themselves directly, and they rarely sit with their own interior life. Attention itself has become quite fragmented these days, and Teresa repeatedly emphasizes that encountering the castle requires self-knowledge. This is one of her most important teachings, and she writes the following, "Almost all problems in the spiritual life stem from a lack of self-knowledge." And this is pretty profound because many people want transcendence without self-examination. They want enlightenment without the honesty, or they want to heal without having to undergo any type of grief, or transformation without having to surrender. But Teresa, she insists self-knowledge is quite foundational, not self-hatred, and not this obsessive self-analysis, but honest awareness, the ability to see ourselves clearly, our motives, our fears, our patterns, our illusions. And for Teresa, this is inseparable from humility. Now, humility in mystical spirituality, I think it's often misunderstood. Humility doesn't mean thinking you are worthless. Teresa absolutely rejects false humility. Real humility means seeing reality clearly, not inflating your ego, not collapsing into some form of shame, but just plain truth. And honestly, I think that may be one of the rarest human capacities, the ability to see ourselves without distortion. Now, as consciousness moves deeper into the castle, Teresa describes increasing experiences of prayer, stillness, insight, and inner transformation. But again, she is quite sophisticated here, even from a psychological standpoint. She repeatedly warns us about the spiritual ego. People begin having these meaningful experiences. They feel spiritually special, superior, chosen, even advanced. And Teresa identifies this as being quite dangerous because spiritual pride can halt genuine transformation. And this is one reason I think Teresa remains so relevant today. She is mystical without becoming detached from human reality. She often sounds pretty grounded. She's very practical and she's pretty funny. At one point, she essentially says that some people become so spiritually dramatic that they forget basic kindness. Teresa insists authentic spirituality should make people more compassionate, not more inflated. And this becomes especially important when we get to the third mansions. So the third mansions are spiritually disciplined people. They're good people, they're responsible people, but there is still subtle attachment to control. Many people mistake moral orderliness, for transformation, but Teresa suggests something a little bit deeper here, that true spiritual maturation eventually requires surrender. Not helplessness, but surrender. But it requires also the release of the ego's obsession with control. And this becomes the threshold that leads us into the fourth mansion. Now, the fourth mansions mark a major transition. And this is where Teresa begins describing infused contemplation, or in other words, spiritual experience no longer feels entirely self-generated. Grace begins taking over. Now, if you're not religious, you might understand this psychologically as these moments when consciousness becomes receptive to something deeper than ordinary egoic striving. moments of profound stillness or connectedness or even insight. Teresa repeatedly struggles to describe these experiences because language itself becomes inadequate. And I think you'll find this to be common in a lot of mystical literature. Mystics across traditions eventually reach experiences that seem to exceed conceptual language. This is why mystical texts rely so heavily on poetry, metaphor, paradox, and even symbolism. Now, one of Teresa's most famous metaphors appears here, the prayer of quiet. She describes the soul as though it were being gently drawn inward by divine presence. It's not controlled, it's not being forced, but it is drawn, and there is softness here, a tenderness. And I think this matters because many people today associate spirituality primarily with pressure or performance and even perfectionism. But Teresa repeatedly portrays the divine relationship as very intimate, it's transformative, it's loving. Now, the fifth mansions deepen this transformation further. Here, Teresa introduces one of her most beautiful images, the silkworm becoming the butterfly. The silkworm encloses itself, it dissolves, it transforms, and emerges changed. This becomes Teresa's metaphor for spiritual rebirth. And psychologically, this is a great image to use because it's quite extraordinarily rich. I think also because transformation can often feel like disillusion. Our old identities begin to unravel, our old defenses hopefully start to collapse, and our old ways of understanding the self no longer fit. And this can feel really terrifying for most of us. Many people resist transformation because the ego experiences change as death. But Teresa suggests something very essential. What dissolves is not the deepest self. It is the false structures preventing a fuller life. Now, we need to pause here because Teresa is very careful. She repeatedly warns against becoming obsessed with mystical experiences themselves. Visions, voices, ecstasies, sensations. She knows human beings can become attached to spiritual phenomena. And Teresa insists the true meaning of transformation is not mystical excitement. It's love. It's compassion, humility, integrity, patience. And again, I think this is important because throughout history, spirituality has often become, distorted through obsession with these extraordinary experiences. But Teresa consistently brings us back to character. How do you treat people? Are you becoming more loving, more truthful, more grounded? And for her, this is way more important than having visions. Now we arrive at the six mansions. And here, the text starts to become a little bit more emotionally intense. And I think it becomes this intense because deep transformation isn't really portrayed as some form of constant bliss or happiness. There's longing, there's grief, purification, interior suffering. And Teresa describes these periods of spiritual dryness, of confusion, feeling abandoned. And this is where her honesty is very extraordinary. She doesn't portray the mystical life as endless ecstasy. Instead, she does recognize that intimacy with the divine often intensifies your awareness. You become more conscious of illusions, more conscious of your ego, more conscious of suffering. And paradoxically, this increased awareness can feel initially painful. Now, this, I think, resembles what many people across traditions would describe as the dark night of the soul, right? It's not failure or anything like that, but it could be looked at more as purification because you have the collapse of these false attachments, the stripping away of illusions. And I think also, you know, this is a period where your old identities dissolve, but also new integration hasn't yet stabilized, right? So these changes can feel really disorienting. But Teresa repeatedly emphasizes trust, patience, perseverance, but not perfectionism. And now we finally arrive at the seventh mansion, the innermost chamber, spiritual marriage, union. And I know that this language can sound strange to us today, but Teresa is trying to describe profound intimacy between the soul and divine reality, a state in which separation begins to dissolve. Not that your individuality is going to entirely disappear, but consciousness, it becomes radically aligned with love. And so she writes the following: the soul becomes one with God. Again, this doesn't mean the ego becomes omnipotent. It means the fragmented self becomes increasingly integrated into divine presence. And one of the most important aspects of the seven mansion is this: the person returns to ordinary life. I think this is important because the goal isn't to permanently escape from the world. Teresa doesn't end with this transcendence detached from humanity. Instead, genuine union produces service, compassion, embodied love. This is one reason that Teresa remains so, I think, balanced and relevant. Authentic spirituality should deepen humanity, not sever people from it. So now I want to just pause and reflect on why the interior castle still matters so much today. I think in many ways, modern culture conditions people away from interiority. Everything pulls outward. There's constant stimulation, endless consumption, algorithmic distraction, performance identity, social comparison, productivity obsession, so on and so forth. And many people no longer know how to inhabit silence. And without silence, it becomes difficult to encounter this deeper consciousness. So Teresa's castle can actually become radically countercultural. She insists that there are dimensions within the human soul that are more valuable than external achievement. And this is a revolutionary claim, especially today, because many people build their identity entirely around productivity. And eventually they become spiritually exhausted. The soul cannot survive indefinitely on stimulation alone. Human beings need contemplation. They need meaning. They need stillness. Now, does this mean that everyone needs to become a cloistered mystic? Of course not. No, not at all. Teresa herself was a very active person. She traveled, she founded convents, she managed conflicts, she wrote extensively. She wasn't detached from reality. Mysticism, at its healthiest, doesn't reject embodiment, right? It transforms the way we inhabit embodiment, how we live, how we breathe, how we act, how we treat other people. Another reason that Teresa matters is really, I think, just her level of insight. She understood very well self-deception, projection, spiritual bypassing, narcissism, avoidance, even the fear of being vulnerable. And I think importantly, she understands that healing and awakening requires honesty. And this is why her emphasis on self-knowledge feels very contemporary. Many people today are searching desperately for identity, but they're searching externally. Teresa is telling you to look inward. She suggests that within the depths of consciousness exists a sacred presence, and whether you want to interpret this theistically or symbolically, psychologically, or mystically, that level of insight remains really transformative. Now, there's another aspect of Teresa I think that deserves attention here. She was a woman that was claiming spiritual authority in a deeply patriarchal society, and we have to take this under consideration. Women's voices were often distrusted. Mystical experience could attract accusations of deception, heresy, witchcraft. And yet, Teresa, she wrote with a lot of confidence. At times, she even apologizes for writing while simultaneously demonstrating this intellectual and spiritual brilliance. And I think there's something deeply moving about that, because many people, especially women throughout history, were taught to distrust their own interior authority, but Teresa decides to reclaim hers. And she reclaims it through having these direct experiences. And I think this is one reason why people still resonate with her work. And it's because she speaks from encounters, right? Now I just want to share a few more quotes from Teresa, because I think it's super helpful for us today. So she writes the following: it is foolish to think that we will enter heaven without entering in into ourselves. I think that's one of the greatest mystical statements ever written, because Teresa understands that avoidance of the inner life prevents transformation. And here's another powerful line that she writes: settle yourself in solitude and you will come upon him in yourself. Again, this is not narcissism. You can look at this more as a contemplative encounter. And then here's one more. Accustom yourself continually to make many acts of love, for they enkindle and melt the soul. As always, Teresa is always returning back to love. So, for Teresa, the soul awakens through love, transforms through love, unites through love, and honestly, this may be why mystical traditions continue surviving across centuries. I think it's because beneath these theological differences that we have, many mystics eventually point towards similar truths. The fragmentation of the self creates suffering. The ego fears surrender. Human beings avoid silence. Love transforms consciousness, and awakening requires inner honesty. Now, of course, Teresa was still a woman of her time. Some aspects of her worldview do reflect this 16th century Catholic theology. But beneath the historical language, I think lies something that we can look upon as being timeless. The interior castle is a profound map of interior transformation. It reminds us that human beings, they possess far greater depths than modern culture is willing to acknowledge. You're not merely like your level of productivity. You're not merely your trauma. You're not merely your social role or even your surface identity. There are many rooms within you that you have not yet encountered. There are dimensions of awareness. There's compassion, there's presence, and even sacredness that's just waiting to be discovered. The castle will remain, even if it's neglected, even if you've forgotten it. Everyone, I hope this episode was helpful for you today. The book is Interior Castle by Teresa of Avila. It's an oldie but a goodie, and I think that it's worth a read and a reread, and I will put a link in the description below for you to find your own personal copy if you are interested. Otherwise, everybody, have a great rest of your weekend and a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.